Book of James, if you would, please. I hope to get through the rest of this chapter this evening. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, and just a few simple points tonight on the rest of this study here in the book of James. We're going to begin in verse 17. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently. I'll go down through the end of the chapter, these few verses here. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We kind of ended things up last week as we went down through and the encouragement of James saying in verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And God's just wanting his people to be like him. Okay, and so you look at Scripture. Yes, God is a God of wrath. He is a holy God, a righteous God, a just God. There have been times he's wiped out entire people groups. That's his prerogative. Okay, he's God. Again, we have to look at things from God's perspective. He gets to decide the rules, right? He gets to decide the definitions. He gets to decide all the terms of everything. We don't. Okay. And for us to question God, God, why did you do this? You can go around over and over again with people, especially people like atheists or agnostics or other people, etc. And you can go around and try to explain God, or you can just say, look, God doesn't need to be explained. He's God. That's it. Okay? This is his record of himself. That's enough. All right. And listen, it might help you as you go through scriptures and you come across a trouble, a difficult passage or a passage that's not clear. Why don't you just leave well enough alone and just say, look, I don't have to understand it. God's going to do what God's going to do. And, you know, sometimes people get off on these tangents. And they actually travel down the road of actually teaching about another God and another salvation and other things when they should have just said, you know what, maybe I don't understand it, but I don't have to because God knows and God's in control. And listen, we just got to know the important stuff like salvation. That's consistent, right? Some of these other things, they don't amount to a hill of beans. It doesn't matter if we know who's going to be the eagle that bears up the woman in Revelation. Could it be America? Fine. I don't care if you want to believe that. Fine. Who cares? You know, there's just some things that just aren't worth putting time and effort into. Okay? So, he says here that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So, we've got to understand that God has a work for us to accomplish. He wants us to be good at that work. And we can be good at that work if we'll follow his directions. It's just that simple. So as we've gone through these first 19 verses, or 20 verses, if you will, James is giving directions to a group of people that have just been saved, baptized, added to the church. They've been ignited, they've been set on fire, and then they've been cast out into all the world to preach the gospel and start churches everywhere. Okay? He wants them to continue to pop up fires here, there, and everywhere. So he wants them to endure these diverse temptations with joy. He wants them to rely on God's wisdom. He wants them to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding and not wavering like the waves of the sea. He wants them to be sure that God is going to provide for them, and they can rejoice, and they can keep their humility, and they can receive this crown of life and endure temptation, and they can even go so far through everything that they can endure the enticements of the devil. Because as they succeed, and as they march forward, onward Christian soldiers carrying the banner, the devil's going to try to lure them away with different things. And he's going to try to get them to stop preaching and teaching the word of God and witnessing to their friends. And he says, hey, you need to not error my beloved brethren. Now, as we end this passage of scripture, beginning in verse 21 through 27, he's going to be talking about their personal testimony as believers in Christ. He tells them, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. You know, we as sinful creatures, in our sinful state, in our natural state, are filthy. You know, ladies, you probably understand this term better than anybody. Right? Because we guys, if something's filthy, it doesn't really bother us too much, right? When I think of filthy, I think of my grandfather's shop. Okay? There's a coat of grease on everything about, you know, yay thick. And it's just, you know, you just touch it, and it's just filthy. I remember my grandpa passed away a couple years ago now, and his hands were not white, and it's not because he was of any kind of different ethnic group. They were just his there was a black tint to his hands. It's because every you can see all the little lines and swirls in your fingers and things like that in your hands. Okay, all of his lines and swirls were filled with some kind of black grease or dirt or something like that. Okay, he's a farmer, a welder, you know, a machinist. I mean, Grandpa was a hard worker his whole life. I remember when Anna was born, we were at my mom and dad's house visiting for something. She was just a little tiny thing, and my grandpa was holding her. And he's holding her like this, and he's got his arms around her like this, and I look over there, and his thumb is in her mouth. And she's just sucking away at Grandpa's nasty, dirty thumb. I mean, just, I don't know, did you even see it? Yeah, she's like freaking out over here, and I'm like, cool. You know, we don't get this idea, all right? But let me give you a little bit of an idea. When James says to lay apart all filthiness. Now, you know in the scriptures it tells us that our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Okay? Now, that's another place in the Bible that word filthy is used. Okay? Now, please understand that what I consider filthy is not necessarily really filthy, because you know what? I'd take an oily shop rag over anything, you know, about what I'm about to talk about here in just a second. What that was actually speaking of in the scriptures were the rags that the lepers used
to wrap their sores. Okay? So if you look up the connotation, if you look up the culture, all right, and what that word filthy rags was speaking of. All right? Now, if you know anything about leprosy, right, it's a disease of the flesh, all right, and it actually rots the flesh. Okay, so you have rotten flesh, pus, nastiness, bits of skin. Am I grossing out yet? Okay, good. All right, that's the whole point. Okay, that's what it's talking about. Now, honestly, who wants to touch that with a 10-foot pole? No thanks, right? I'll take the oily, dirty shop rag any day of the week. Okay? Now, so James is trying to illustrate. Lay aside the filthiness. Folks, listen to me. Over and over in Scripture, it talks about our flesh. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Take up your cross and follow me. We as natural people who are born again need to lay aside all filthiness. That means anything associated with the flesh, because it's rotten, it's putrid, it's leprosy, it's filthiness. And if we don't see it that way, we must see it that way. We need to learn to see it that way. Because you know what? If we become comfortable with this flesh, then we might as well just go grab those rags off the side of the road and wrap them around our hand. Because what does that breed? Anybody that knows infectious diseases? Yeah, why did they have to say unclean, unclean, and walk on the other side of the road? Because it was contagious. So guess what? Guess what's contagious, folks? Our flesh. Here's what happens. We end up getting around other Christians that also don't lay aside the filthiness of the flesh. And what does that do? It just breeds it all together. You know, we just keep getting worse and worse into it. Because birds of a feather. Yeah, that's good scripture. I don't know which verse it is, but it's there. It's not. So we've got to understand what James is trying to say. So you really got to wrap your head around the gravity of these words. We read this passage of scripture and just kind of fly over it. Right? Okay. Lay apart all filthiness. No problem. We don't really dwell on what this filthiness is talking about. Then the next word I thought was cool. He says superfluity. Yay. Okay, there's some fun words here. How many of you like words? Okay, I do like words. I can't stand English, but I like words, okay, as far as grammar goes. You know, because, and again, if grammar would just follow the rules, grammar and I would get along. But we don't, because grammar is always breaking the rules. And I really don't like that. So, but that's why I don't like grammar. But I like words. Superfluity. I just looked it up. It wasn't that difficult. But superfluity is something that is beyond what is wanted. That's all it means. That's what that word means. How many of you didn't know what that word meant? Good. I didn't either. So I looked it up. Superfluity, he uses this word. Something that is beyond what is wanted. All right, so superfluity, then he uses a phrase after that to describe of naughtiness. So, in other words, there is a level of something that is beyond what is wanted. Naughtiness. Okay, what is naughtiness? Naughtiness is badness, wickedness, evil principle, or purpose. So there is a badness, a wickedness. There is an evil principle. There's an evil purpose that is above what is beyond what is wanted in our lives. So he says to the people, lay apart all filthiness. Get rid of all this junk, this infection of the flesh. Because guess what? Paul said, We're going to be wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? So, but he's talking about the enemy, but he's talking about that other enemy, not the enemy that we live in. He addresses that in Romans, right? If we walk after the flesh, we're going to die. If we walk after the Spirit, we're going to live. And so there's this fight that's going on. So he says, not only are we supposed to lay aside and lay apart the filthiness of the flesh, but we're also supposed to lay aside the badness, the wickedness, and the evil that is beyond what is wanted. You say, who wants any evil? Who wants any badness? Who wants any evil principle or wickedness or purpose? Okay? Nobody does. But guess what's in us? Those things. Okay, so both of these have to do with our natural state. If I let my flesh do what it wants, it's going to be evil. It's going to be wicked. And it's going to be bad. It's going to be filthy. And he's saying in very explicit terms, lay it all aside. Because you cannot be successful serving God. You cannot be successful making it through these diverse temptations. You cannot be successful standing fast and not wavering. You cannot be successful in humility and in rejoicing and in receiving the crown of life and making it through the enticements of the devil and not erring and having received these perfect gifts from God. We're the first fruits of his creatures through the word of truth. And we're following his directions. We've got to lay apart all these things. We have to make a separation between the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to do this often. Until we're called out of this world, either by death or by that trumpet, we are going to have to deal with this flesh. And if you don't lay it aside, it'll waylay you. If you don't know what that word means, you can look it up. So we're the ones that have to take action. It's just like a classroom. I tell my teachers, if you don't control the class, they're going to. Moms and dads, if you don't control your kids, they're going to control you. If you don't control the flesh is going to control you. It's not going to just take a break. It's not just going to go away. It's going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. Hey, the devil's not going to take a vacation. The world's not going to take a vacation from trying to destroy your life. From trying to seduce you. It's going to just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And James is telling his people, we need to lay it aside. Lay aside the filthiness. Lay aside the overabundance, what is beyond what is wanted, of naughtiness in our lives. And then he says something positive. Before I give you the positive, let me just tell you about this principle. Whenever you lay something aside, you need to replace it with something else. Okay? When I was in boot camp, there were 84 of us in my division, Division 947. We were a state flags unit. And at the graduation, we got to carry the state flags and do a certain procession, etc. It was a lot of fun. But when we got to boot camp, you know, they take everything away from you. I mean, everything. Pride and dignity included. And you know what? They take everything away. And I didn't have any, if you will, we'll call them major vices, like smoking or drinking or drugs or anything like that. None of that had ever been a part of my life, okay? But there were guys that were, you know, two-pack-a-day smokers, you know, before coming into the military. And they weren't allowed to have any of that stuff for 8 weeks. So they took it away. And some of them went through, you know, withdrawals and sweats and all those things, the different things. But, you know, science tells us that it doesn't take that long to get over that particular habit. But so we're without all that stuff for 8 weeks. Graduation day comes. And on graduation day, you're allowed to go do whatever you want. So some of these guys, they had scientifically gotten over the habit. But you know what they went right back to after 8 weeks of no cigarettes? Yeah. They went right back to it. What does the Bible tell us? The dog returns to his vomit. The swine, the pig goes right back in the mud. Why? Why does that happen? Because you didn't replace it with anything. So if you're going to lay aside the flesh, and if you're going to lay apart the superfluity of naughtiness in your life, you've got to replace it with something. Otherwise, you're going to go back to it. So James says, lay apart these things, comma, and receive. So he's trying to help them. How are we going to be successful? Yes, we do need to lay apart the filthiness of the flesh. Yes, we do need to lay apart the superfluity of naughtiness that rules and reigns in our lives in the flesh and in the carnal nature. But we've got to receive something in its place. He says, receive what? Receive with meekness. Remember, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Okay? Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So not only are we supposed to lay apart or lay aside things, we're supposed to receive God's word in place of these other things. Why? Because this is what's going to keep us on the right path. This is what's going to keep us from going back to the filthiness. This is what's going to keep us from going back to the naughtiness. This is what's going to keep us as we're seeking toward and moving toward a relationship with God day by day. He's trying to prepare these Christians for the difficult task of keeping that church fire going across the world. And if they're going to be successful, they have to lay apart these things of the flesh and receive the things of God's word. You know, it's a hard thing for someone to admit that they're wrong. It's even harder to admit that you've been wrong all your life. But these Christians, daily and house to house, breaking of bread, they were what? They were listening to the apostles' doctrine. Why? Because they've been taught the wrong doctrine all their lives. You say, what doctrine is that? Well, the doctrine that the Pharisees and Sadducees were teaching. It was all backwards. It was all works-based, right? It was all flesh-based. And they're supposed to lay apart these things of filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Remember, Jesus called the Pharisees whited sepulchres. Full of what? Dead men's bones. They were unclean. They were undone. They were without hope. Because they were following religion. Oh wait, that's mentioned here, isn't it? So we've got to understand that these things all go together. Why did you take so long to get the introduction heard? See, I was doing good. It was like 2 minutes after. Now it's 2 minutes till I'm supposed to be done. Oh, not supposed to happen. Okay, here we go. Now, let me just read a few of these verses to you. Proverbs 11, verses 3 through 6. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Proverbs 6, Solomon writes, and says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. In Proverbs 17, Solomon writes, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes and says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs to God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we also may also be glorified together. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes and says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated for the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you understand, these things are that lay aside and receive. Lay aside and put on. So James is trying to reiterate what Paul said in Romans and in Ephesians and over in Colossians. I don't have time to read that to you. Also, if you believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, he says it in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 as well. That we're supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And we've got to put on these things of the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We understand that when Jesus was talking about the sower and the seed and the parable there in Matthew 13, he said, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. The Word of God is going to give back great dividends, folks. The more you put it into your life, the more you lay aside the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, the more you receive the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls, you understand that we can have success if we make the Word of God our life. He kind of gives an illustration now in verses 22 through 25. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You need to take that phrase, that verse of the Bible, and take your mind back to what Jesus dealt with in his ministry. He was dealing with people who only heard the word of Moses and the word of God. They were hearers only. These Pharisees and these Sadducees and these religious rulers. Oh, you say, but they were all about doing things. Yeah, but did you not listen to what I said a couple Sundays ago in Matthew chapter 8? No. John chapter 8? I didn't listen. John chapter 8, right? He said, hey, if you were followers of Moses and Abraham and these guys, then you wouldn't act like this. Abraham never acted like this to God. You think you're following God and his word, but you're not. How many times have you heard something and you heard the wrong thing? Yeah. Because you really weren't listening, probably. That's my problem. I'm just going to admit to that myself. I'm not going to pin that on you. But when I mishear something, it's mostly, most of the time, because I wasn't listening. Okay? Sometimes my wife and I will be trying to tell our children to do something. How many of you have children that do this? You can raise your hands if you like. It makes you feel better. We begin telling them to do something, and they leave before we're finished. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get a witness, brother? I mean, yeah, Brother Frankie's waving his hand back there going, yes. Yeah. And we're like, wait, stop. I'm not done yet. I want to tell you everything. Okay? So, we need to be hearers of the word. Yes, that's good. But doers also, because if we don't, we're deceiving our own selves. He says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. What do you mean? You look into a mirror, you see who you are, you see what you are. And then he says this, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When Jesus was dealing with these Pharisees, and he was healing guys on the Sabbath day, His disciples were going through and picking off the ears of corn, you know, and they didn't wash their hands. And they're going. He says, you're not listening to what God is saying. I can't read it tonight. Well, no, I don't have time to read it tonight. I have 37 verses of Matthew 23 printed out here. If you'd like, I can read through them all, but how about I give you the summary? Jesus is talking here, and there are actually seven times he says this phrase, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Okay? It's a great passage of scripture. I may have to preach a whole message on that. Just by itself. He says, you're fools. You're blind. He said, whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? He goes on and he says these things about them. He says, ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat, and swallow a camel. I mean, this is some good stuff. That's preaching, man. I mean, it really is. You should read it. It's great. Listen to me. This is what he's talking about. Hearers of the word and not doers. In other words, they're not getting it. They're not understanding. He says, but whoso. Now we're going to 25. Goes back to this receiving with meekness the engrafted word. He says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If we do not lay aside and lay apart the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, we will reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's capital S Spirit, capital S in the Bible, we're talking about that proper spirit, right? What's within the believer? The Spirit of God. If we quench the Spirit, that's not good. What's going to keep the Holy Spirit of God open in our lives? Righteousness. Truth. The Word of God. We've talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. How can you be filled with the Spirit if you don't lay apart the filthiness and the superfluity of naughtiness? It isn't going to happen. We need to make sure that we are sowing to the Spirit. Shall the Spirit reap life everlasting? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't be weary. Is it hard to lay apart the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness of the flesh? Absolutely. Right? Be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in this battle. Don't be like the person that looks in the mirror, sees what they are, and then forgets about it. But look into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. It's a day by day by day by day by day by day by day work. We need to fight the good faith, fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. We've got to do these things. It is important for us to persevere. Paul writes in 2 Timothy, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." That's what we need. I guess we're going to have to get to the religion next time. I almost got there. But we need to consider these verses from verse 21 through 25. As we learn to be not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of it. As we learn to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls.